originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat He's Had Enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. Thank you to everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning into our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, please visit the website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest this evening, he comes from a strong line of jockeys. Both of his parents rode his uncle and a second cousin, who you might have heard of. He won the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Apprentice Jockey in 2000. He's won 100 graded stakes, including victories aboard It's in the Post, Star Over the Bay, and Blind Luck, just to name a few. He's recently moved his tack here to Kentucky with 2,621 wins and over $117 million in earnings. It's a pleasure to introduce jockey Tyler Bays. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Tyler. How's Kentucky treating you so far?
Oh, I love it here.
Obviously, you've ridden in the Kentucky Derby a couple times, but have you ever spent so much time in Kentucky before?
No, I haven't. I've really enjoyed especially the people here, and everything's so nice.
It is shocking sometimes, Tyler. I remember moving back here from the East Coast, I forgot how nice everyone is. You can have a 10-minute conversation at the gas station. It's a nice place to be. And you've actually reconnected with your agent, Vic Stauffer, and Vic's done a great job for you in the past. And tell us how you guys reconnected.
What was that?
How did you reconnect with your agent, Vic?
We weren't racing at Santa Anita, and he called me and said one of the jocks at Oaklawn Park had to leave to Mexico to get some family things taken care of, and the agent had a ton of work, and if I wanted to come ride, and I hadn't worked, so I jumped on a plane. And I worked with Jose there at Oaklawn and a little bit of time here. And then when Vic got done announcing, that's how we connected, actually.
Vic, of course, the track announcer at Oaklawn Park. And he'd tell us about what you guys did together in the past.
He worked for me in 2009, 2010. I had a bad injury in 2010. I shattered my face, had a horse kick me in the face, and was out about a year. And that was pretty much, so I had 2 years with him, and then I had somebody else since in California.
So that decision you made to leave California when you jumped on a plane to Oaklawn Park. Tyler, I'm sure not an easy one. You've ridden in California for a long time. And
well, I've been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
My family's there. My home's there. It's not easy being away from my kids, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do for our families. And, you know, I thought this was the best opportunity right now to try to get the right connections here in Kentucky and, you know, expand my business.
Tyler, talk about the difficulties that Santa Anita, the racetrack, faced this past winter, and obviously, hopefully, the renovations they've made since.
Well, you know, they've never had that much rain, I don't think, at Santa Anita. And, you know, it was a combination of a lot of things with, you know, horses run on sealed racetrack back there, which is like a freeway. And then, you know, it's just a big combination with a lot of problems. And, you know, when they canceled the racing pretty much for that month, it was the opportunity to get out of there. And I love California. That's my home. I've been there for 20 years. That's where my wife and kids are. I miss it, but this is the best opportunity that I've had to break in such a tough colony, and I think I started out pretty well. So if I can keep it going, and, you know, you never know what the future holds. So there's the best horsemen in the world are here. The best horses in the world are here. It's Kentucky. It's awesome. So I'm just trying to open doors and see what opportunities arise.
Obviously, the purses are very good right now here at Churchill Downs because of the Derby City Gaming. The historical racing there at that facility has increased the purses at Churchill Downs. Great place to be. We've seen a lot of new faces at Churchill Downs, I think primarily because of that. And Tyler, what are your long-term goals? Are you planning on staying here in Kentucky?
Well, that's the plan right now. You know, like I said, I got to see how things go here and if I can get my business going. It's very sad what's happened in California. Like I said, that's been my home. I've been there for 20 years, but, you know, I just don't know where the racing's going there, and this is what I do. So this opportunity's here, and I'm going to take it and run with it and see how, you know, see if I can get rolling here, and you know, eventually, hopefully I can talk my wife into moving here because I love it.
Tyler, you were actually born in Seattle, Washington, and you grew up around racing. Your entire family's several jockeys in the family. Obviously, both of your parents rode races. So tell us a little bit about what that was like growing up in the industry.
No, well, my whole family, I grew up at Long Acres. Yeah, they closed that place down when I was, I was about 7 or 8 years old. I've never been off a racetrack. It's been a lifelong thing. I started as a hot walker when I, you know, cleaned the stalls for my grandpa when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, to hot walking and cleaning the stalls for a gentleman named Mike Pewich, and eventually started grooming for him, and then I started galloping for him. But all my family, it's what we know, it's what we do. And it's what we love. And it's, if there wasn't horse racing, I don't know what what else I'd do. It's the only thing I know. But I really enjoy the animals, and it's really cool to be able to connect with one like It's in the Post. I think he's my top earner, but he's also been a special part of my career the last few years, and just a really cool horse. And when you get connected with a horse like that, it makes the game a whole lot funner, a whole lot more fun, and I love what I do. So,
being immersed in it like that, Tyler, I'm assuming there was never any thought of doing anything other than riding races when you were growing up.
No, I love to cook and I love to work on vehicles, so I always did that since we moved to the farm when I was about 10 or 12 years old, and always kind of, that was my backup plan. Well, I could always work on cars or cook or do something else. And if I outgrew this job, and thank the Lord I didn't outgrow it, because I love it. But, you know, we live, we eat, we breathe horses. You know, and if you're a horseman, that's what you do. Everything is horses, and I just really enjoy it.
Now, do you remember watching your parents ride? Were they still riding when you were young?
I don't really remember. I remember being at the racetrack since I was a little tiny kid. I know I watched my mom ride, but I can't actually remember it. I know I was there because I was in the pits, a few of her wind pitchers, but and now my dad, he only rode for a couple months, but you know, I grew up watching my uncle Gary ride, and actually Gary Stevens is my uncle, and the day I seen him win the Derby on Winning Colors, that's the day I told my dad, that's what I'm gonna do. And I've just had my sights on that since that was 1989, I believe. That's just what I've pointed towards, and what my parents have helped me become. I started breaking horses when I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old with my dad, and he showed me the ropes from the ground up, from the time they get to the barn to the time they run. And so I've done actually a little bit of everything, but I've always enjoyed being on top of a horse, that's for sure.
Do you remember your very first win?
Yes, I do. Horse named Fleeting Wonder for John Sather. It was pretty special. You know, I got the opportunity to ride with a lot of the Hall of Fame guys, you know, Eddie Dalhousie, Chris McCarron, Lafitte, the guys before they retired. And it was, talk about an opportunity to learn from the best. It was, really, you couldn't beat it. And I remember my first race actually ever was 6.5 down the hill. It was on, the race was called Goodwood Breeders' Cup Day at Santa Anita. And my first agent, I have a few, she put me on one 6.5 down the hill. And it was pretty awesome feeling. And that's still one of my favorite races to ride, especially when you have horse. But that first win was for John Sather, and he's been a huge part of my career for the last 2 decades. So he's been a good friend and just a really good guy to ride for.
Tyler, you mentioned some pretty big names there in the jockey colony when you were starting out. Eddie Dalhousie, Chris McCarron. I mean, the list is long. And what are some of the things they taught you in the room?
You know, there's no certain things they really teach you. You just pick up here and there, and I've asked a million questions to a million jocks. And like Eddie D, my first race, Eddie, man, we take a right, we take a left. He said, yeah, it's that simple. Take a right, take a left. Cross the dirt, and then you hit the finish line. And, you know, it's just, you learn mostly by watching. How I've learned, I did ask a lot of questions, but mostly by watching other riders and seeing different things. And not every horse is the same, so you have to be able to change styles. And you got to do your homework in this job. And I do a lot of homework to try to figure out how to ride each horse, because none of them are the same. Every horse is different. But the riders that I got started with and got to learn a lot from were unbelievably talented jockeys that are all in the Hall of Fame, and it was just a blessing that I had that opportunity.
So how do you do that, Tyler? How do you prepare for a race, specifically maybe a horse you've never sat on before?
Oh, like moving here or moving to Oaklawn, yeah. My preparation day starts with going over the form and then watching replays on all the horses. And I do watch replays of almost every single horse I ride, unless I already know them and know their, you know, qualities of what I need to do with them. But all the horses that I haven't ridden before, which has been a lot in the last couple of months, I'll watch the replays and see, you know, how they like to win, what their style was, if the horses had trouble, bet, you know, how far of a move can they make? There's a lot of things you watch, and that's what I consider my homework, and I do it every day. And it, you know, and throughout the day, you know, if I got a space between races, then I'll watch, you know, the next couple horses I ride, and then have another break and watch the next couple horses I ride. Watch three or four races on every horse, and that's according to that. And of course, you know, you got to listen to the trainers, and hopefully a plan develops that you can both work out. I've been fortunate to ride for a lot of guys that, you know, they hire me for a reason, and the best thing they can say is go have fun, Jock. You know, but I do try to follow instructions, but when that gate comes open, everything changes. Nothing's the same. You know, so you got to have a plan A, B, C, D, and E, and go with whatever works, I guess. But most of the time I can study horses pretty good and kind of know what the plan is with them.
Well, the studying has worked out very well for you, Tyler. Like I said in the introduction, 100 graded stakes victories. I counted. That is the exact number that I show. And you won the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Apprentice in 2000. Winning that award, what did that mean to you?
Well, I actually wasn't even going to go to the Eclipse Awards. And the only reason I went because Mike Pegram called me that day or a couple days before. And I wasn't going to go. I didn't think I had a shot. And there was another jock, Norberto Reyes Jr., who I was up against, and he had a lot more money than I did in earnings, and I thought that's kind of how they voted. But Mike called me. He says, listen, you're going to go. I'll pay for your plane ticket, your hotel, and go get on a plane. And so I went, and I was really shocked when they called my name, because I didn't prepare any. I didn't think I'd had a chance to tell you the truth, and I never prepared any speech or anything, and I for my family and for my parents it was you know, you always strive to make your parents proud, and it was pretty special for my whole family.
It's a good thing you jumped on that airplane, Tyler.
Yeah.
Funny story. And then obviously business was good, even after losing the bug, which is sometimes a hard transition for some jockeys. You just kept winning, Tyler. And let's take a minute now to talk about some of those great horses on your resume. Who, in your opinion, was the greatest horse you ever rode?
Well, to be honest, I can't single any of them out. I've been on hundreds of unbelievable horses. One of my favorite horses to ride was a horse named Yodeling Dan. He was a $10,000 claimer, but you know, I actually ended up winning a stake on him, a cowbred stake on him, going a mile and a half. But I went on him anywhere from 6 furlongs to a mile and a half, and he was just that was one of my favorite horses to ride because he always showed up, and one of them horses that just knew his job, and he went out there, and I think I won probably about 10 races on him. He was super special to me. Like I said, it's not just the great horses that you connect with. It's the cheaper ones too. You know, you when you get connections with certain horses, it gets pretty special, and you really get in a relationship with them. So he was one of my favorite horses, and probably Avanzado, my first grade stake win, I think, or no, not my first grade stake win, but I think it was my first grade one win was on him, and he took me around the country, around the world. It was the first time I got to travel and ride a horse, and my first win at Belmont, you know, he was pretty special. There's been a lot of horses. Don't get mad. You know, I hit the board in the Kentucky Derby. Every jock's dream was just to ride in the Kentucky Derby, and Baffert gave me that opportunity, and I didn't do no good, and then I rode Don't Get Mad in the Derby for Mr. Hughes and Ron Ellis in, I think it was in 2005, when Giacomo won. And all the way around the track, me and Mike Smith were right next to each other. And you know, my horse ran a week before and win the Derby trial by about 10 lengths. And just, I've always wondered what happened if he didn't run in that Derby trial. You know, he could have been huge. You know, maybe that had took just a little bit out of him, because I don't think he got beat two lengths on the Derby. But so that was pretty special to me. But I've ridden so many good horses, so many great trainers, and I've had an unbelievable career that hopefully gets better, and maybe this opportunity to move here and get out of the business will expand my career, I'm hoping. So it's just I can't single any one horse out, to be honest, because I've been on a lot of good.
Let's talk for a minute, Tyler, about riding in the Kentucky Derby. That's every jockey's dream. And I know I've been riding on airplanes, and when you say you're a jockey, everyone automatically asks you, have you won the Kentucky Derby? Have you ever ridden in the Kentucky Derby? And that's what everyone thinks of. But you've ridden in several Kentucky Derbies. Obviously, this year was a crazy outcome, something none of us expected and we've never seen before. And tell us what it's like as a jockey to be going out in the post parade while they sing My Old Kentucky Home, and in a race, 20 horse field, that just has to be crazy. Tell us about what that's like.
Well, you walk out on the track for the Kentucky Derby and they start playing that, and then, well, I'm not going to lie, I started crying. You know, especially the first time, I'd never thought or ever dreamed of being in the Kentucky Derby. And, Baffert gave me that first chance on Indian Express. Like I said, he didn't run any good, but it was a heck of an opportunity. And the next time I rode it on Don't Get Mad, it was even that much more special, especially when I hit the board. But, you know, them gates come opening. It gets a little crazy. You know, a lot of horses, and you just hope your horse is classy enough to settle or, you know, put you in the right spot, because, you know, it can get a little dangerous out there with 20 horses. You know, it's not a real wide racetrack, and good thing it's got big turns, but it does get a little dangerous. But it's a good feeling, that's for sure.
Well, now that you're riding in Kentucky full-time, Tyler, I'm sure we'll be seeing you in that first Saturday in May next year quite frequently going forward. And I want to talk about one of my personal favorite horses that you've ridden in the past is Blind Luck. Jerry Hollendorfer trains, obviously, so much talent that horse had. Went on to win the 2010 Kentucky Oaks and the Eclipse Award for 2010 champion three-year-old filly. You actually won her very first Grade 1 victory in the 2009 Grade 1 Oakleaf at Santa Anita. And you rode her the race prior to second place finish in the debutante. What was she like to ride?
When they first sent her to Jerry Hollendorfer, they said she's a bit of a wild one. Anyway, I got on her a couple times, and she was a little crazy. She was a nut. But I knew she could really run. And I really thought I was going to win the debutante that year on her. I think she was 30-1 or something. All she'd done is break her maiden, I think. Anyway, she runs second, come back. She won the Oakleaf really easy. And the next race was the Breeders' Cup. And you know how Breeders' Cups are, kind of like the Derby. They got a lot of horses in there, and I'm pretty sure she was favorite. Everybody was riding me along with their horse. So it wasn't like the greatest trips. She ran third and got me to half length. But she was... Every time I got on her and worked her and everything, she just got better and better. It was just a nice opportunity to ride such a talented filly.
Yeah, you rode her to that third place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies in 2009. She said a little bit of a trouble trip that day, but she had so much talent. How did you get the mount aboard that horse?
Probably a gentleman named Mike Pewitt. Pretty much the only reason I went to California was him, and he's been a huge supporter and a great friend since I was a little kid. And it's given me opportunity after opportunity, and he runs Mr. Domenico's farm up there in Washington and kind of manages the horses, I believe. But Mike's been just a great friend and given me a lot of opportunities.
Jockey Tyler Bayes joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Another one of my favorites, Tyler. It's in the post. You've won 6 graded stakes aboard this horse Jeff Mullins trains. Talk about that horse for a minute.
This horse is unbelievable. Actually, I just worked him this morning. Now, I've been a huge supporter of Jeff Mullins, and we've been best friends for 20 years. I've been riding for him since I started, and I had the bug, and that horse, I started riding him from Boone, Vienna, actually, and Daryl retired from riding, and Jeff was fortunate to get this horse, and all we've done is create a huge relationship with him. He's one of the coolest horses to get on. He knows his job. He wants to do it. He's been off since last August. But, you know, I'd ridden in Kentucky multiple times over the last 20 years. And he gave me my first win in Kentucky at Keeneland. And that was super special to me because, you know, a lot of guys don't get a chance to even ride in Kentucky. Or a big meet, you know, that was Keeneland in Elkhorn 2 years ago. And he's just a cool horse to ride. He knows his job. I love him. I'm so excited that he's almost ready to run again. And looking forward to how good he can be. So I'm really excited. He's got about 3 weeks, maybe a month till he runs. And he had his first 5/8 today that was on the grass at Churchill. So I worked in 102 around the dogs and did it very nice. And just knock on wood, they stay sound. That's the main thing. You know, in this game, you never know what's going to happen the next day. But he's doing good and looking forward to it.
Do you know in what race he plans on making his first appearance on the comeback?
I think the race name is the Wise Dan at Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a mile and a 16th or a mile and an 8th, and his best distance is going to be a mile and a half. But when he's fresh and coming off the layoff, I think a mile and 8th is going to be great for him because he'll put me in a spot to win, and he always shows up.
Well, we'll be looking for you in the winner's circle there, Tyler. Unfortunately, we only have just about a minute left here, and one last question here for you, Tyler. What do you do for fun? I know it's a lot of work, a lot of time spent on the backside in the mornings and then during the races, but how do you spend your free time?
I hunt and fish. My family, we live on what I catch and what I get out in the field, and that's my hobby or my getaway from the racetrack to get some fresh air is I own a boat in California that I go out on the ocean all the time and do a lot of lobster fishing and fishing for tuna, and I love the outdoors, though. Anything outdoors, I'm ready to do when I don't have to be at work.
Well, you're in the right place, Tyler, for hunting and fishing here in Kentucky. Wishing you all the best. Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.